Well, hey, Rachel, I just wanted to welcome you to the show, and I really appreciate this opportunity to get to speak to you and learn all about you. And
for our audience and listeners, I'd love for you to introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Rachel Hayes. I'm from Scotland. And so if I speak too fast, I really do apologize for that. It's just me. I'm an adaptive CrossFit athlete, and I can actually officially say that now that I've been to the CrossFit Games, which is pretty cool. What makes me adaptive is the fact that I've got functional neurological disorder, which is a brain network disorder. So basically my brain, when it's communicating to my body, quite often the links stop working and it leaves me with various things. So paralysis happens quite a lot. I lose my vision an awful lot. My cognitive function goes. I'm constantly in some form of pain, or some part of me is not working or not feeling properly. And so it's just like a whirlwind of everything. But I don't really let that stop me. And it's taken me probably until about 2-3 years ago to actually be at peace with the fact that this happens. This is going to be part of my life. This is just me. And I think the way that I look at things is quite important to that. So I was first diagnosed when I was 19. And obviously I'm a lot older than that now. I'm 34 now. So when I was 19, it happened. It was completely paralyzed on my left-hand side. I'd lost, my face was completely gone. It was all completely drooped down. My arm didn't work and my leg didn't work. So I was rushed into hospital and they thought that I'd had a stroke. So I was in hospital for multiple weeks back then. And I just remembered it being terrifying because nobody knew what was the matter with me. I actually felt okay within myself. I didn't feel like I was ill or anything like that. But just part of me wasn't working. And then you're poked and prodded and all the rest of that horrible stuff that happens. And it's just a really, really scary experience. So now, I think now over the past couple of years, I've started being a little bit open with my friends speaking about stuff, or with people at the gym and being like, look, this is actually what goes on with me. If you don't see me for a couple of months, it's probably because I'm in a wheelchair or something isn't working with me. And now because of all of that, we've started opening up more conversations and being a bit more chatty about it. So hopefully other people with conditions like myself can see that it shouldn't actually stop you. Like, fair enough, bad things do happen, but you can still go off and do cool things. Like, I've been in the wheelchair and ended up in the gym and done some absolutely amazing stuff. Like today, my left side of me is completely and utterly numb, and I just managed to do a box squat with 95 kilos on it. And that's a 25 kilo PB for me, which is massive. And I just think if you think that things are going to be terrible, they're going to be terrible. But if you think, do you know what, how can we make this actually better? Then you will find a way to make it better as well. So I think that's really important. And that's kind of why I wanted to speak to you as well, just to have a chat about things, because I've obviously heard your podcasts and it was quite cool to hear everybody else's stories, and quite a lot of them resonated an awful lot, especially one of the guys who's in the wheelchair. And he was only sometimes in the wheelchair. I can't actually remember what his name is, but he was saying it's like so difficult because people would see him in his wheelchair and be like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And automatically offer help. But then when he was walking about kind of in a normal situation, he's just left to his own devices, and there's not really any help whatsoever. And sometimes when you are actually walking about, that's when you need the most amount of help. So it was quite cool, quite nice to hear that. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. Sorry, I totally went on a tangent there. What did you do?
No, I love it. Yeah, because you and I have been communicating a little bit back and forth, and yeah, you said Shane's episode. That's who it was. We were listening to Shane Farver, I think is his last name. He helps with adaptive climbing over here in America. They actually just every year they go to the Red River Gorge, which is in Kentucky, and do like a big adaptive climbers fest. So they just got back from that. But I do love though, because that's incredible. So if you, because I saw on your Instagram, you have photos of you and like your family climbing, and so. If that ever becomes a hobby, definitely, if you're in America again, swing by their Red River Gorge and see if you guys can go try to do some real climbing. It's a great
place. I'd love it. You know, I don't know if I would trust myself on ropes. I would trust my children. They're absolutely grand. Me, no. I don't. If I had somebody else to be in control of me, absolutely fine. But yeah, my skills like that aren't the finest. I don't mind bouldering. I really enjoy bouldering because you've got to use your brain quite a lot to try and figure out where you're going or try and make things more difficult. And my grip strength is sometimes absolutely terrible, so if it is really bad, I'll take the kids to climbing ball and just start like holding on to things, and if you fall, you fall, because you know you're going to be safe. It's fine. And the kids have a lot of fun seeing me fall off as well.
Yeah, it's a good time. And there you can find like guides and stuff. I mean, that area is so popular. There's going to be typically every place has like some type of guides around the local gorge, which is a good thing.
Yeah, money though. That's the thing. Unfortunately, these guys cost a lot of money. If anybody out there is listening in the Inverness area that wants to take me out, please let me know because it would be quite cool. But yeah, for free, obviously, because we're not the most rich, unfortunately.
Oh, you know, you could actually probably reach out to Shane and them about the festival and see like what all they do. Because, I mean, it is an incredible thing. And so like, yeah, maybe one day in the future, you could definitely skedaddle over and see what it's all about.
That would be amazing.
I know they'd be happy to meet you, though.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But, yeah, and so during the introduction, I think there was a cool thing that you pointed out, which is something to highlight is, you know, talking about Shane's story and yourself, how you guys will sometimes spend time in a wheelchair, but then you have those independent moments where you're walking around. And, like, I think that is hard to picture for, like, the able-bodied community because, like, there are moments where you guys have to utilize that wheelchair because of your adaptation that you guys are living with.
Yeah.
And like you said, to get those independent. And so I'd love for you to kind of break that down because I think people don't understand that there are some people that kind of bounce back and forth. Like
yeah. So for me, obviously, I can't speak for everybody who's got the same kind of conditions, but every single day is completely different. So some days like today, for instance, my hand, I can't really feel it at this has actually been going on for a while now, I think about it. But so simple things like being able to go off and just grab something out of the fridge is incredibly difficult because you've got to have that coordination to be able to put your hands in place, which is quite hard. And I think everybody sees me as me, or they'll see footage on Instagram, or they'll see me in and about the gym and think, oh, she's absolutely fine. When in reality, I'm really, really not. It's quite difficult, especially like if my legs are starting to go. I will know, like it's taken me years and years and years to understand this, but I'll start having drop attacks and fall over and normally end up with like broken bones or something will happen because of that. And that'll be my body's way of starting to tell me that everything's still a way to shut down and things are getting a bit too much. But like when you're in the wheelchair, I think everybody looks at you like, oh my gosh, what's happened? And initially I would hide away for, I know like when I was 19, I didn't really let anybody see what was going on. And so when things were happening, I was in hospital for a very long time. And then I went to live with my mom and I pretty much went into hiding and rehabilitating myself to get myself better. Whereas now if I'm in the wheelchair, I'm a bit like, you know what? I don't actually care. My whole house has been adaptive. My car has been adaptive. Like everything's been sorted so I can actually live a normal life and make sure that I'm here for me and my kids. But it's really, really difficult because people automatically come up and be like, what's happened to you? Blah, 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 blah. And you're like, well, actually, nothing's happened to me. It's just something that happens all the time. It's just part of me being me. I've not had an accident. I'm not in pain. I'm not injured. I'm literally just not able to walk just now. But I know in hopefully a few days, sometimes it gets to a few weeks. And normally by the time it gets to about 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And I get in a really bad kind of place mentally. And that's, I think, the 2 week point, normally like 11 days, 12 days, it's really, really difficult because I'm like, I should have actually been able to walk by now. I should have been able to get up by now. You're looking at your life like, hurry up and wake up. So trying to push past that. And especially being a mom, it's really, really difficult to try and keep positive about it. But normally it'll get to the 2 week stage. Things will be quite bad. I'm like, I've just got to keep going and just got to keep trying. And just kind of keep pushing and trying to make myself better because I know that it does get better and I know that I will be able to walk again. It's just a case of my body actually responding and coming to wake up again. And then when I do wake, like it does wake up, then I'll be like, right, let's carry on as normal. Let's do this. Let's do that. I love to ski. So one of the worst times, it was actually 3 years ago when I ended up in hospital for a month. I was just got a new set of touring skis and I was so excited. My neighbor gave them to me. I was, oh my gosh, there's going to be snow coming in a couple of days. We can get out where I live. There's incredible hills round about us. They're not massive hills, but if there's snow, there's such good fun. And it's like typical skiing in Scotland. I don't know. Some minutes the snow could be absolutely perfect. Then it's sheet ice and then it's just mud and bits of heather and trees coming through it. So it's really technical. Absolutely awful. Most people hate it, but I love it because it's difficult and it's horrible. So I got these touring skis on and I was like, yeah, this is going to be so good. And then the next day I woke up and I was completely paralyzed from my waist down. I was like, oh, this hasn't happened. So I left a couple of hours and I don't know. I just kind of thought it's going to pass. It's going to get better. I'd been having all these drop attacks and I kind of got better from that. And they didn't wake up. And it was the first time that I'd ever been both of my legs, because previous to that, I had always been left-sided completely. So they put me into hospital and don't get me wrong, the doctors were lovely. They were really good. But I think the hospital's not the right place for people with conditions like myself to be. I think they're a lot better self-managed at home. Like in my case anyway. And I was sat there in the hospital ward and I'd been chopped and changed. I think I'd gone through something silly like 7 wards in a couple of days. It just moved me, moved me, moved me. And I eventually got to this place and I could look outside and I seen Bamwibus, which is one of the local hills, and it was just getting whiter and whiter and whiter. And I just broke down because I was like, I've got my new skis at home and I can't be sat here and blah, 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 blah. It was just awful. And I think that was one of the worst times it's happened, because it was like before it had always been left-sided and I was used to that, so I'd been going for pretty much over 10 years of just left-sided things happening, and I was like, oh well, it's going to wake up, it'll carry on. And then when it went for both my legs, I was a bit like, oh crap, this is pretty bad. And to try and keep yourself out of like a really, really dark situation was really, really difficult. And it was just after COVID, so I couldn't see my kids either. They were only allowed into hospital for certain like periods of time, and it was just so hard because like the snow was falling, I couldn't see my kids, my mom and dad live over in Canada. It was just a horrible, horrible experience. But then when I got better about 6 months after, and it was pretty much most of my own doing, just being really, really stubborn and just super like stubborn to the point, I googled, you can get these bikes that you can strap your feet in, they're called Motomed. And they help detect spasms and they help your legs work through spasms as well if they are locking up, but they're like an electric bike that move your legs for you. So I said to my doctor and to my physio, I was like, I need one of these in my room now. I was like, if I'm going to be in here for any longer, I have to be able to do something more proactive than lying in a hospital bed. And they were like, what? They cost loads. And I was like, but I know that you will have one in the hotel because you will have loads of other patients that use these for, not the hotel, sorry, in the hospital. And because you'll have loads of other patients that actually rely on these sort of things when they're going through their physical therapy. So pop one into my room. So at least when I am sat here in a hospital bed wasting away, I can do something to stop that muscle wastage. So eventually they got one of them for me and it did make a tiny bit of a difference. So I'd sit on it for like 2-3 minutes and would get like no distance whatsoever on the bike, but then I would lie in my bed and my legs would start spasming, so I could tell that the nerves were starting to wake up. So I just kept on doing that and doing that and doing that, and it's just soul destroying. And then eventually when we got a safe kind of space for me to live in again, I managed to get out of hospital, but that took about a month. And then it was a good like 6 months from actually being in hospital to being able to walk again. And I remember I'd gone into a gym and they were like, oh yeah, you can come and sign our forms, blah, 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 if you just come up these stairs here. And I looked at these stairs and I'm like, I haven't been able to walk up a flight of stairs in about 6 months. And so I literally had to take them like with either hand and just like push-press myself up and then like drag my leg, either leg up every single step. And I was like, this is ridiculous, because for a gym, they should be accessible. They should be trying to like help people be able to get it to like the best version of themselves. And like my case, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs, so why have your office all the way up the stairs? Take it downstairs and start all of this stuff. But that was kind of the changing point in everything, where I actually did start speaking out about things, and I kind of realized how important it was to have muscle mass behind you. Because like being in a hospital bed, my legs had gone so thin, like I don't know, they're probably thinner than my arms are just now, because my arms have got a good bit bigger over the past couple of months. But they'd gone from like normal size legs and just shrunk and shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. And it was actually, sorry, that's my dog, actually terrifying to see how much everything had gone. And then I think that was quite a lot of the reason why when you're trying to stand up and trying to be able to walk, like the patterns will be starting to emerge again, but there was no strength behind you whatsoever. And there's so much that can be done within the health services and from home, or anything to prevent that from happening, to stop these sort of episodes going on. I don't know. There's so much that I could go into about it. There's like loads of things in my head, like this could have been changed, that could have been changed, blah, 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 blah. So now if episodes do happen, I just don't bother speaking to the doctors, which probably not the right thing to do. But I know if you speak to a doctor, they'll put you straight into hospital. And I don't want to go straight into hospital because that means time away from my family, time away from my dog, who's now always start squeaking a toy. And yeah, it just means like everything's such a slower process. So I know if like my legs stop working, I've got a bike at home that I'll just literally take myself onto. I'll strap my feet to and I'll use my arms to get my legs moving. And my kids are quite good. Like, Hamish will go grab my wheelchair for me so I can get into the garage. And I'll just start moving. As soon as things happen, I'll start moving and start fighting it. And normally episodes will take between like 2 days to a couple of weeks to try and get better if it's both legs that have gone. Whereas if they put you in a hospital, that was like 6 months. And then the other time I was in hospital, it was about a year and a half it took me. So it's just, yeah, a bit beyond me why everybody's first reaction if something goes wrong is to hospitalize you when you can actually use yourself to make yourself better. But I think it's quite hard to get that across to people as well when they are in that situation. Like looking back to 19-year-old me, if somebody would be like, right, if you just go home, get yourself a bike, strap yourself onto that, start doing your own physio, just like take everything into your own control, you'll get loads better. I would have been like, nope, that's not happening. I'm dying. This is happening. Blah, 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 blah. But in reality, it's actually a lot better for me to do what I'm doing. Sorry, my dog's rubbing himself up against me. Hello, pup. And
oh, you're fine.
Yeah, a lot better just to be able to self-manage and be able to feel like you have that control, because I don't know, it's something about you managing your own condition that makes it a lot more important rather than passing the whole body into somebody else's hands. Yeah, I've completely gone off on a tangent again about all of that. There's so much that happened and so much like he's
not you.
And I'm like, nah, it's a bit annoying. Squally, he's
no, I really appreciate like all the candor and like telling us everything, because I think it's important. And like, there's a lot from that you could talk about, but I think the biggest one is the fact that you gain control by taking care of it yourself in your house. And it sounds like that through kind of going to the hospital a couple of times, you've learned how to self-manage. And I think that's really important, right? Because everybody who has an adaptation, it's very different. Like, no single person's the same. And so other people have to manage it. But what I'm curious is, have you noticed an evolution of your symptoms as you've gotten into CrossFit and like more physical activity?
I've noticed things don't take anywhere near as long to get better. My relapses that aren't really quite as often. I'm still, I don't know, like Saturday, for instance, I'd gone into my physio and they'd done a lot of deep tissue stuff and put some dry needles in because my body's broken after being at the games still. But yeah, he did a heap of work and then I sat up and I'm like, oh, my balance is gone completely. And you know that way if you feel like you're on a ship? If you sit on a ship and then your body's like, whoa. So it stayed like that until about yesterday afternoon, which wasn't ideal. And my kids wanted to go to a bouncy castle park. So I had to take them to this bouncy castle place, play with my kids, but I couldn't even walk in a straight line. I was like, whoa. But CrossFit has helped massively. Like absolutely massively. So when I do end up in the wheelchair, sometimes it's been for a couple of weeks, sometimes it's a day here or there. But I know when I've been in for a couple of weeks, the muscle waste is just nowhere near as bad as what it was before. And so simple things like, say a squat, for instance, is basically just standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down. So I will take myself in a wheelchair and put a bar, my barbell across my rig at home and literally just practice standing up and sitting down, standing up and sitting down. So by having the muscle already there, at least it remembers kind of what to do. So it helps loads with being able to just get up and down and do generic things. Simple things like being able to pick something off the shelf or put my kids into the shower or just like general day-to-day things that you take so for granted. It's unbelievable. It means that life is manageable again. Yeah, a lot more manageable, because before, like, I couldn't even shower myself. I had carers coming in all the time and it is just not a way to be living. Whereas now I've pretty much taken control over all of that. I've got myself to a stage where I am a lot stronger. So I can physically get myself in and out of my chair to get into a shower, to be able to wash myself, to put my kids in and out of the bath. Luckily, they're a little bit older now, so they don't need me to carry them in and out of a bath. They can do it themselves. But it's just helped so much with everything. And like confidence-wise as well, I would never have spoken out about this stuff before, but through speaking to people at the gym and then speaking to different people throughout kind of my network of friends, I just find it's really, really, really important to actually be open about what's going on, because you don't know, there's like so many people who might have similar conditions, but they might be keeping it all completely to themselves. And quite often it's so good to have somebody to just be like, look, this is happening. Has it ever happened to you before? Like, and just find out about people's experiences, because everybody's experiences are so different and everybody deals with things differently and everybody responds to things differently. But I know, like, the people that I have spoke to, I've been like, look, have you tried doing this, like, simple squatting stuff? Like, when you're good, I'm like, just squat. And I was like, I love a squat. I absolutely love them. I'm not very good at them. I'm not the strongest of people. At, like, any weightlifting sort of stuff, I'm actually not the best, but we're working on that. We're on Mission Get Strong at the moment. But, like, simple things, it's like, that makes such a big, huge difference to your quality in life. Even things like practicing with your grip, like, little wee things help so much. When you are in the wheelchair, you're able to hold on for that a little bit longer. Or if you do need to transfer or get yourself in and out of somewhere, it makes such a huge, huge difference. Just by having that extra bit of additional strength. And I honestly couldn't recommend it enough to anybody. I think any form of exercise is good, though, not just CrossFit. Obviously, I'm a big fan of CrossFit because I've fallen in love with the feeling of being absolutely floored after a workout. And I think I find, like, with a workout, you end up going in and you give it your absolute all. And regardless, like, what scaling, what adaptations, what anything that you've done, everybody's in the same absolute mess at the end of it. And you're all flat on your back on the floor thinking, what has happened to me? But there's genuinely, like, no better feeling, because you know that you've given it your all and that's all you can ever do. And I know, like, when I went into the games, I didn't expect to qualify whatsoever. I thought, we'll do the open because it'll be quite cool to be on the, like, in a division with people with similar conditions like me, just to see kind of how we all stack up against one another and where I actually would place if, like, everybody in the world was like me. So I was like, right, that's really cool. Going to the semi-finals, and I was like, oh, well, we'll give them a go and see what happens and just hope for the best. And I sat there, and I think I was sitting at 11th place, and I was like, oh, it's definitely not got through. So it was the weekend that they were meant to be announcing who was going through to the games. And I was checking and checking and checking. I was still sitting in 11th place. So I went to a festival with my friends and my aunties and all the rest of them, had the best night. Oh, I hadn't been out for so long. I just danced the whole time and it was amazing. And then I got a phone call on the Monday by my friend being like, oh, congratulations. So I was like, oh God, what have I been up to at the weekend? And she was like, oh no, you've made it through to the games. I was like, what? And she's like, you made it through to the games. I was like, oh Christ, I did not expect that whatsoever. So yeah, I had to, like, properly, I don't know, we had 4 months to get financially secure, to train, to get myself strong enough to be able to do the majority of the movements. So 4 months from going from, I don't know, I'm not the strongest of people whatsoever, but the difference in strength in 4 months from just knuckling my head down and just trying and trying and trying, from, like, the semi-finals to the actual games was unbelievable. But, like, my coach is like, oh, how did that actually happen? And we were a bit like, got no idea, but we did it. And I'm convinced that it's all to do with your brain. If you believe that you can do something, you will be able to do it eventually. Fair enough, you might fail, but every time you fail, you're providing your body that muscle memory. You're providing that body that, like, response to be like, look, I've tried. It's obviously really difficult, but if we try it again in a couple of weeks, your body's already half lifted that strength, so why can it not go up the full way? And then you just try it, and everything just kept building and building and building, and it was so cool to see. And even, like, today, my box squat, my last PB was only a couple of months ago, and that was 70 kilos. So I don't know what that is in pounds. I'm not great at converting. But today, I managed to get 95 kilos, and I was a bit like, whoa, that's a 25 kilo jump in the space of just a couple of months, which is mental, like, absolutely mental, on a day where, like, I'm not actually feeling my best. My legs aren't working the best, my balance is still all over the place, but I just had it in my head and I was like, do you know what, I'm gonna do this, that's fine, that's great. And that's almost my deadlift. I managed to lift up on my shoulders. I'm like, oh, this is so weird, still so good. Like, little things like that, it just makes you so happy. And I can't, like I was saying, I can't recommend movement enough for anybody with any form of condition. Like, some of my friends in the games, they've got half an arm, one arm. Some of them have got legs. Some of them don't have legs. Some of them can see. Some of them can partially see. Some of them have intellectual things going wrong with them. It's such a, like, weird and wonderful and diverse, like, group of people. It was 270 of the world's most amazing people all put together to showcase what they could do. And every single person was there to, like, fight adversity basically Kevin Over had said, this is your opportunity to give your body a bit of payback for everything it's put you through. And that was pretty much stuck in my head the whole time. And it got to one of the workouts. I don't know if you've seen, there's a video on Instagram. And it was a sandbags over the bar. And I was sat there and somebody had said something to me before. And I was like, that was so rude. And I was absolutely fizzing about it. And I was raging. And I was thinking, you know, I've always wanted to do the Highland Games at home, but they were always like, no, Rachel, you're too clumsy. You're never going to get to do this. And I thought, see, chucking a sandbag over the bar, that's kind of the same as tossing a caber. So I was like, right, picked up the bag, I was absolutely fuming, and just like launched it. And I didn't realize like how far the bag had actually gone until I'd finished the workout. And one of my friends came up to me, she's like, Rachel, you almost knocked out half of the equipment crew. I was like, what? And she's like, look at this. And she showed me this video, and the bag had literally came up over my head, over the bar, and swung back curtains. So I was like, oh God, I did not expect that. But at least it was a clean rep. So I'm taking it, like fully taking it. And it just turned out like all the weird and wonderful things that people had never tried before, I was actually quite good at. And that was really, really cool, because I think it was just the way that I approached everything. I was like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, actually, what's the worst that's going to happen? As long as I give every workout my best, as my body allows per that day, then I'm more than happy with that. And like, we entered the games, I was sat 10th on the leaderboard, and I think I finished at 7th. And I was like, I can't actually believe this has happened. I took a second in one of the events, which was amazing. Like, I thought it was going to take 3 minutes. When we trialed it in the gym, it was 3 minutes that it took me. And on the day, it was a minute and a half. It's just sheer mindset more than anything. Like, your body goes into a flow state and something just takes over and you're just like, just go, you've got a job to do, and that is that. And it's just one of the most incredible feelings ever. And I know, like, in a most of the workouts in the gym, when you do get into that state, you finish it and you're flat on your back, like, what just happened to me? And that's because you've been in that flow state and you know that you've pushed it as hard as you can and you know that you've done your absolute best. And it's just, I don't know, it's really hard to get that feeling. Unless you're skiing on powder, then you get that feeling as well, and it's just amazing. Like, actually amazing. Sorry, I'm still with the coffee.
No, you're good. Did you ever imagine, like, when you first got into CrossFit that you would ever be going to the Adaptive CrossFit Games?
No. Absolutely not. I didn't even know about them, to be honest. So the first year I did the Open, I did it in like the same as everybody. So I did the able-bodied version, and I didn't actually know that Wheel Ward existed, and I didn't know anything about the adaptive side of it as well, and I didn't know how I would categorize myself in it either. But I'd been watching a few things on Instagram, and there was a guy, I think his name's Brett Hotcher. I can't 100%. Brett Hotcher or Bert? Something like that. But he's got MS, and he'd put a video up of himself, and it had a bit about his lumbar puncture and his journey to get him able to walk, and then showing him at the actual CrossFit Games. I was like, oh my gosh, that's pretty much like my journey. I've been through all the lumbar punctures. I've had to relearn how to walk God knows how many times. I've had to just push myself and push myself over and over again to be able just to do a normal thing like standing up. And to see him, he'd actually managed to make it to the CrossFit Games. He was in the standard diagnosed category. And he'd done really, really well. And I was like, whoa, that's amazing. So I actually reached out to him. I was like, look, how do I go about finding out more about this? Because it would be really cool to see, obviously, where I would stand with other people that have similar stuff to me. So he kind of pointed me in the right direction of Wheel Ward. And then I spoke to, I think it was Shannon. She was lovely, actually. She interviewed me, and I was like, oh. And I think when she interviewed me, I wasn't actually able to walk at the time. But I was like, some days I don't know where I would sit in all of the categories, because some days I can't see, some days I can walk, some days I can't walk. Some days, like, my arms work, some days they don't work. Some, like, everything, there's a bit of something every single day. So I got put in the standing diagnosed category. So that was quite a varied category. I think we had a few deaf girls. We had a few girls with MS. And two of the girls had EDS as well. And then there was myself with FND too. So it was a really, really varied category, all with similar kind of things that go wrong with us, but just different, if that makes sense. And they're some of, I don't know, I would class some of them as like my greatest friends. I've only known them for a little bit, but we've just made such an incredible connection, because they were just, we all know what it's like to, for people to look at us, be like, oh, but you look so strong. And you're like, oh, you have no idea the reality of what is actually going on with us just now. And I think that was one of the things that hit quite a lot of us quite hard, as we would all say about in our gyms and different places, people would be like, oh, but you can do this, you can do that, you're so super strong. And we're like, we're actually not. We just try and try and try, and we fight. and we want to make positive change for ourselves, for everybody else in our lives. And the only way we can do that is how we know how. And that's by exercising and basically giving our body a heap of payback, lots of payback, actually. But yeah, that's, they were just amazing, like absolutely incredible people. That was cool.
So can you describe what it was like the first time stepping onto that floor at the competition?
Oh man, I was so nervous. As you can tell, I speak a lot, and I'm a bit like all the time at the best of times. And I'm so grateful. My normal coach, Donnie, couldn't make it across because he was on a family holiday. Obviously, we didn't expect for me to actually get to the games. So my other coach, Connor, came along with me and Joe, his partner, and they literally turned into my brain for like the whole thing. It got to the point where I turned around to Connor, he'd be like, I know you need water. And I was like, thank you. And he would just pass me stuff. But the feeling, I remember just turning up at Morgan's. It was Morgan's Sports Complex, which is an incredible adaptive complex. For anybody that's in San Antonio, I would definitely recommend checking it out. When we went there, you turn up and we were like some of the first people there as well, because maybe me, I was like, I need to be super early, get myself calm, figure everything out. I thought I would get myself calm and I just went sky high, like absolutely sky high. Ended up hugging pretty much every single person I'd seen, be like, this is amazing, blah, 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 blah. And that's just my nervous reaction. When I'm nervous, I just go do, like a total scatterbrain. We got there and then you end up going into the athletes area, and that was really cool because you see all these people that you see on Instagram, and like I properly fangirled and so many people, and they were probably just like, shut up, Rachel. But it was amazing. I've seen all these like incredible, incredible people all warming up, doing their stuff. And I was like, whoa, I can't believe I'm actually in the same vicinity as all of these people. And I knew first workout, it was going to be hot. It was 37 degrees in Texas that day. And we had to do it was just under 2 kilometers. They reduced it. I think it was 1,750 meters on the Roam, the same on the Skierg, into a mile run. So I was like, this isn't going to be the best whatsoever. And I just got taken from the athlete area and got taken through into like a holding pen almost. And we got our brief. The volunteers were absolutely incredible. And they kind of talked us through what was going to happen, where we were going to go, where our lanes were. And we got there, got sat in our doors, and all you hear is, ready, go. And that ready, you're like, like something takes over you. And then you just go. And it's, again, like I was saying about that flow state, it's as if something takes over. And I knew within that workout, it wasn't going to be my strongest one because the Skierg was in it. And I'm not, like, for being a really good skier, I'm not good on the Skierg at all. And I knew that. So I was like, with the Roar, hold your pace. Like, because I'm notoriously terrible for going hell for leather. Absolutely. Like a 2K roll, I absolutely love it. It floors me completely. But I know I can hold a really, really good pace on the Roar. So I had to be like, make a conscious decision, be like, great, Rachel, just slow yourself down, because if I do go at my normal pace in the Roar, do you think I could have smashed that out of the park? Probably came off that way too fast, be so happy with myself, got onto the Skierg and just died. So I sat really quite slow on the Roar compared to normal. And on the Skierg, it was literally just about managing that, because I knew on the run, I wanted to go out from a run. I would hold my pace and I knew what pace I was going to hold, and that was fine. And then I wanted to make sure that I had enough energy at the end. So if there's anybody near me, I could literally just cane it past them and be like, see yous. And that's like, I was so proud. Like, that's exactly what we did. We sat a bit slower in the Roar, came off like middle ground of the Roar, which was absolutely fine. The Skierg, I knew I'd lose a couple of places because that's not my thing whatsoever. Next year, however, it will be. There's a lot of work to be done. And then we got off the Skierg and I was like, right, shades on, let's start running. Did the first lap, perfect pace. Second lap, perfect pace. Third lap, got the biggest stitch I've ever had in my life. And my coach, Connor, was like, Rachel, just keep moving. Just keep going. And I was like, because I know my mind would have given up so much quicker than my body in that situation. And if I thought, this is going to be absolutely terrible, I'm going to have to stop, I would have slowed right down. So what I did is I just stopped. Let's go. And I had the song, The Kishorn Commandos. It's a very West Coast, like Uchter Scotland songs. I had that stuck in my head and I was like, just keep singing that, running around. And I got into the last lap and a girl, Louise Bosse, I think her last name is, she'd caught up with me and I let her sit pretty much just in front of me, the tiniest bit. So I was like, watch her. Turned around, got to about the 200 meter mark and I looked and I was like, see ya. And just floored it. And it was genuinely like the best way to, I love that workout finishing on a run, because I know if I hold myself back, then I've got so much to give in that final 200. And that final 200, we just went hell for leather. I didn't actually place that well in that workout. Well, I did so much better than I ever expected to do. And I'm so delighted with it. And literally got to the final bit where there's like pads with your names over it. Ran straight past that, jumped onto a pad, fell over and looked at my judges like, I'm going to be sick on your feet. I'm so sorry. And just had to get like dragged off to the ice bath, thrown into the ice bath. And I was like, trying to keep myself together. My friends were taking pictures and I'm like, trying to smile. It was brutal because like 37 degrees, obviously I'm from Scotland, it's cold here. Like our summer's probably like 15-20 degrees maximum. So to go from that to 37 degrees, I was like, oh my gosh, this is mad. But it was amazing. And then like the second workout was, again, it was outside, but we had a shade over the top of us. And that was the one that I expected to take 3 minutes, and it only took a minute and a half to get through that workout, because it was KK, she was beside me. She actually won pretty much every single workout. She was amazing. She was beside me, and I was like, I just want to keep up pace with her for as long as I possibly can. And I managed, and there was one part where I turned and I literally had watched the video back. My feet went step, step, step. And for somebody that can't feel their feet, trying to do really quick turns is so, so difficult, because you've got no idea where your feet are landing. So you're like, right, just watch them. And I'm like, do like 1, 2, 3 with my feet. Turn, go, like as I was turning, and then go. And that one I went 1, 2, 3, 4, then went. And that was the bit where I slipped up. But it got to the very, very last shuttle sprint. And it was myself and Gida. She's amazing. She's so lovely. She's from Italy. And we got to the very last bit. I turned around and looked at her, and we both clocked eyes and just smiled. And we were like, I can't say what I'm going to say. And we were like, on foot, go, and just caned it. And we just fell to the ground. Like, that's, again, what I'm saying. Like, you fall to the ground at the end of a workout, absolutely burst. And we just gave each other the biggest hug and so much congratulations, because it was such a good race. And even though, like, you go there and you're competitors, you make the best friends in the whole entire world. And everybody knows a little bit about what it is that you're going through. So we've got so much respect for one another, because we know, like, it hurts. Like, things... we're pushing ourselves so much. Like, there's only so much we can do to like manage how things are going. Like, after that workout, I was just literally shaking head to toe for hours and hours and hours after. Got myself in an ice bath and stood in front of this fan that had water coming out of it. And it felt like I was on top of a hill in Scotland. And I was just like, I'm home. This is lovely. And got back and got so much food and just lay in the pool. And I just thought, whoa. But my body already at that point was starting to go a bit funky. Yeah, so it was just about managing everything and trying to keep myself together for like the whole seven, like it was 4 days of 7 workouts. And yeah, it was a bit brutal, but it was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Man, thank you for that play-by-play. I love hearing like your competition, how it was that day, all the competitors. And I think it's really unique because you guys are like such a tight-knit community, right? Because then you especially get other indefinite athletes together. And I think that's what makes it even more unique.
Yeah.
But something that you were talking about was with your coaches, you guys came up with a strategy for every workout. And, you know, you mentioned the flow state a couple of times. So I'm curious, like, would you come up with a strategy, and then would that strategy sometimes go out the window depending on if you hit the flow state or depending on how you felt during that workout?
Yeah. So in the second workout, we'd been in the warm-up area. And the second workout was with the, I don't know if you've seen it, there was like long sandbags, like really long thin sandbags. I think there were 7 pounds for the women and 100 pounds for the boys. So in the warm-up area, loads of people had been practicing picking this sandbag up because it was an odd object. Nobody had used one before. And the workout was you do one shuttle, one like sandbag carry, however many shuttle sprints. So another sandbag carry, then like 4 shuttle sprints, and then another sandbag carry and 2. I can't actually remember the numbers of the shuttle sprints that we did, but it was a reduced number of shuttle sprints. So in the warm-up area, the sandbag had obviously been used by loads and loads of people, so it's really floppy. So you could literally like go down to the sandbag, fold it in half and like cleaned it and held it like this. So you pretty much cuddled the sandbag and just ran. And it was actually okay. It was completely fine. And then I was standing at the start line and I was just like, do, kind of moving myself about. And I kicked the sandbag that was in front of me. And I'm like, whoa, this thing's rock solid. It's not floppy. It's not going to fold. And I'm so glad that I actually kicked it, because if I didn't kick it, then I would have gone with the same strategy that we'd already do, fold it in half into a V, pick it up and then go. So I kicked it and I kind of looked and I was like, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but there's only been one lot of like competitors on before us using the same sandbags. So I literally just went ready or three, two, what is it? Ready, stand by, go. That's what it is. So they were like, stand by, go. So I literally just scooped it up with one arm. And I could see everybody else was trying to do it the way that they did it in the warm-up area. And I was like, oh, that's it. That's us gone. So as soon as I picked it up and ran, it actually put me in better stead. And then again, you did end up in that flow state. And I finished the workout. I was like, I'm so sorry, Connor, but totally went off plan. But this is why. Because if I hadn't kicked it, I would have tried to make sure that I could have did it the way that we actually planned to do. And then what other workouts was it went off plan? Probably quite a few. But like the first one, we did it like bang on. We did it exactly as we said we could do. Like there was one with a mat track clean. And I got onto, I wasn't the strongest of people. I'm going to get strong. And that's like our big, big mission for just now. But I looked around and then Kay was in the lane next to me. She was lifting more than I could even deadlift for her first like opener for her clean. I was a bit like, oh gosh, what am I doing? But I didn't know the weights of any of the cleans because Connor had worked everything out for me. He's like, this is what you're going to be lifting. It's on a sheet of paper. This is the plates that you need to put on. This is on the sheet of paper. Give that to your judge and just lift it. So I was like, okay, completely oblivious to what I was lifting. I managed to get, I think it was like a 3 kilo PB on my clean, which was amazing. Like I was so, so delighted with it once I actually found out what I was meant to be doing. But I completely stuck to the plan on that one. And then the one with the, I think it was the clean and jerks and the pull-ups. I'd practiced that before in my gym at home. And it had gone quite well, actually. I've only recently got my pull-ups because I'm not the best at them, unfortunately. But I'd practiced it at my gym and I was like, oh, this is actually going to be okay. And then we got to the warm-up area and I jumped on the bar and the bar was like a million times higher than the bars that we've got at the gym. And it was a powder-coated bar as well, whereas we use steel-coated bars. And everything with me is quite sensitive. So as soon as I jumped on and I felt the bar and I was like, this isn't going to go well. And I knew exactly, yeah, what was going to happen. I was like, Connor, I'm not going to be able to get one pull-up in this bar. I managed to get one in the warm-up area. I was like, I'm not going to be able to get one here whatsoever. And he's like, just make sure, do your clean and jerks, get to the bar, look at me. And I was like, okay. And then I got to the bar, did my clean and jerks, and they were all, do you know what, they were actually beautiful. I'm so proud of myself for that because every single one felt so good, and it was a heavier weight than I would normally ever use, but they all just felt good. It was again going back into that flow state. I'm like, oh, this is lovely. Got to the pull-up bar. And normally with a pull-up bar, you jump up onto it. But because it was so high, I couldn't jump up. I probably could have in hindsight. But I went onto the side, got myself over, got my first couple of pull-ups. And then I didn't look at Connor, whereas I should have looked at Connor. And I just kept trying and trying and trying and trying. And literally the whole of that workout was me trying to get my next pull-up. And I looked at Kevin Ogre at one point, who was sat behind us. And I could just see him. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is quite embarrassing. But I was like, do you know what? I'm not going to give up. Like 100% not going to give up. I'm going to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. And then I finished the workout and I was like quite happy because I didn't think I would get any pull-ups whatsoever. And I managed to get a few. So I was like buzzing because of that. And then Connor was like, Rachel, you should have just looked at me. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't think, but I was just in the moment. And he's like, because if you looked at me, we would have stopped you. We would have paused you. We would let you had a bit of rest. And then you would have been able, I would have told you when to go again or like pointed direct me when to go again. And like he would have been able, like from afar, he would have kind of helped me and guided me. Whereas, yeah, obviously he couldn't coach me through it, but he could have just been like, stop, like actually stop. And then I would have stopped. So at that point I was like, damn, I should have actually looked at him. But bearing in mind the CrossFit Games, that's my first ever competition that I've ever done. I've never done any like local competitions or anything like that whatsoever. Literally just gone straight in for the deep end to the CrossFit Games. Not a clue what to actually do, just hope for the best. Yeah, so there were so many lessons learned. And like, yeah, other ones that we went off plan, probably quite a few. The bench, I know there was one that you started on the bench, you had a minute to do max reps, bench press, and then it was straight into, you had two pig flips. So it's this big massive like block. So you had to flip that, run straight over the top of it, do a rope climb and straight up to the top and down. And then it was the sandbag ones. So we had a really good plan for that because the bench press is actually heavier than my one rep max. So I was like, Connor, I don't think it's a good idea for us to like waste energy on this. So I literally got there, looked at the bar, and the guy, I don't know, do you know what squint means?
I'd have to understand the reference to the word.
And the bar is squint.
Squint. No, but I can look it up.
So,
let's see.
Yeah, so basically, instead of being straight, squint is like this. So it's like not straight. So I have
So it's like lopsided.
Yeah, lopsided. So the poor guy, the judge that was with me for that one, we'd changed the hooks so that the bar was going to be an okay height for me. And I looked at him, I was like, look, the bar is squint. She's just looking at me like, what? And he's like, the bar is squint. And he's like, oh. And I was like, the bar, look, there are two different heights. I need to sort this out, get it done. So we managed to get it sorted. To be fair, we probably don't actually need to, because I literally took the bar and I was like, this is far too heavy for me. I was like, take it off. And everybody else is still going ahead doing their bench. And I just was like, right, stand up, walk over to the next starting point and just keep my energy. And that was fine. So that was another one of our kind of tactics on that one, because I knew I would come home from that. There's no way I was physically going to be able to move far. So we just kept our energy. And then I think we got like a second in the pig flip rope climb one, managed to get that in a couple of seconds. And then for the sandbag over the bar, I got a second in that as well. But combined, because of obviously I got a tenth, it dropped it right down. But it was real cool. Like real, real cool. And I think White Connor being there to tell me what to do and just to do, I don't know, he was literally my brain for everything. And his partner, Jo, she's incredible. She was just always there as like the most incredible support. And like every so often I'd kind of look up and I'd see her poking around. And just without the two of them there, I would never have been able to get through that as well. And my parents obviously came down from Canada for it too. So I would look up and see my mom in the crowd with her little Scotland flag. And I was like, yeah, there we go. It's just cool because I thought I was the only person from Scotland, but there's somebody that's from Scotland that was there, but now they live in England. So I'm like, it doesn't really count. It doesn't really count.
Yeah, that's fair. Just because you're from there, but you haven't lived there, right? That's exactly. That's
exactly.
Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, I think it's entertaining that you were just like no competitions and then you go to the adaptive CrossFit games. Like it's the very first thing. Like, I mean, it's wild, but I think it's great. Like you said, you learned so many lessons. And then now it sounds like you have plans for next year and you guys are starting to kind of work towards that. And so what does that plan kind of look like compared to just jumping in the deep end?
Oh, so I literally got back and had a good few days just to rest and kind of kept my life back together. I ended up in the wheelchair on, what day was it? The Sunday, I think. So I got back on the Wednesday and I came back and I'd had, I think it was about 29 hours of traveling. Got back straight into mum mode. I picked my kids up from school. I phoned the school, been like, guys, got your kids upstairs? And they're like, they're in school. I was like, can I take them? And they're like, why? I'm like, I just really need a hug. So I picked my kids up from school. We all put our pajamas on and we just watched Disney films and it was amazing. When I returned them back to their dads on the Sunday, though, my friend had gave me like the box had given me like this kit, like a recovery kit with like really nice like essential oils, some bath stuff, some candles, and it was absolutely lovely. So people came back to their dads and I was like, right, properly relaxed, down tools. It's the first like opportunity my body's getting to go to chill. And I had a bath, I get out of it, and then I sat on the sofa and I was like, oh no, my legs have stopped working. Is like, I think because I'd been on running like such a high for so long and I'd been pushing my body, like we built up really, really nicely to the games and then we were training for a silly amount of time, but it was all really beneficial. And then coming into the games, you're in such high adrenaline and everything, like you're pushing your body like you would never have pushed your body before. And then obviously the travel and coming back. So when my body actually had the chance to relax, it just shut down. I was like, ah, this isn't great. So it's even till about the Tuesday, I think, to be back up on my feet and back walking again. But it was expected to happen. I knew that would happen at some point. I just didn't want it to happen directly after the loveliest bath and the loveliest chance to relax. So after all of that, then I'd kind of left myself to recover for a few more days, got back into the gym, spoke to my coach, Donnie, and literally the first thing Donnie was like, right, Rachel, this is our plan for next year. We've got this. It's planned out pretty much to the week of what we're going to be doing, like all of food-wise. We had a good conversation about that, about how we're going to manage everything going forward, because I think we did really well with the training. leading up to the games to keep myself from having big episodes, which was really, really important. We managed to balance it just perfectly. So he's done like so much research. It's unbelievable. I think for the next like 8 weeks, we're pretty much focusing on strength, which is not my forte, unfortunately. And it feels really, really weird. I'm like seeing everybody finishing their WODs and they're like all absolutely dying. And I'm like, oh, I miss that feeling so much. But yeah, it's quite cool to be seeing big, big improvements in strength happening across the board. And I know he knows exactly kind of what I need to do. And as long as I actually do as he tells me to do, then we're going to be okay for next year. It's going to be quite exciting to see actually what happens, because obviously we only had 4 months to kind of prepare myself for the game. So this time we've got a whole year. And I'm like, if that can happen in 4 months, what on earth can happen in a year? It's really, really cool to see what comes up. So obviously we've got like the full year's worth of training. At the moment, it's all like strength basis. And then we're going to add different components as we kind of work through the year. I think obviously we've got the Open that's going to be coming up the start of next year. We've got them Adapt All or Nothing. They've got a event on in, what, May? I think it's 27th of May, actually. It's my mom's birthday. So I will be away off my mom's birthday competing, which will be great because it means I get to see all of the guys from the games and get to catch up with a lot of the people from the UK, which will be amazing. Got to train with some amazing people whilst I was over there, like Liam Smith. He's a really good pal of mine now. And Henry Dunn as well. He was really, really cool too. So it'll be really nice to get to catch up with them guys and just see how they're all getting on and see the differences and the changes in everybody as well since the games. And then after Adapt, what have we got? The semi-finals, obviously, if we get through to the semi-finals, which I think we'll probably all do. I've got quite high hopes for that. And then we've got the Iron Showdown. That's going to be in July. So I'm making sure I'm actually doing competitions in advance just to get used to different sort of situations. And then fingers crossed, all going well with semi-finals, that we'll make it through the games again next year. That's what we're aiming for, and aiming for quite big things next year. This year was about having fun and just going out and seeing what can happen. Because I knew, like, in reality, I wasn't prepared enough. No, I was prepared enough, but I knew I wasn't as fit or as strong as I would have liked to be going into that situation. But now we've got like a full year to kind of really, really prepare, where it's going to be a lot more competitive, I think. Probably still come out with loads of great friends at the end of it, but it's going to be a lot more just pushing myself and hopefully more moments where I'm on the floor absolutely done in. Because like the one with the pull-ups, I know I tried and I tried and I tried and I put my body through absolute hell just to get a couple of pull-ups, but I should have been able to finish that workout. And it kind of, it's annoying me that I didn't finish the workout. So next year I want to be able to go in and just go hell for leather every single workout, give it every single bit of me that I possibly can, and just see what happens, really. So yeah, we've got big, big dreams for next year, which is going to be cool.
And I can't wait to see the progression and like watch your journey to the next CrossFit Games. That's going to be awesome to see.
It will be cool, that's for sure. I just need to build these arms and back a bit. But even things like I got a t-shirt last year and it was a pink t-shirt. I think I put a video of me and my son doing just like synchro sit-ups. We were playing about in the gym doing some accessory work. And last year, the t-shirt was absolutely hanging off of me. It was massive. And then I put it on the other day and I'm like, oh my gosh, this hardly fits over my shoulders now. It's ridiculous. And there, so at least something's happening there. They're eventually getting a bit bigger. So hopefully the strength is going to come with it too. That would be great.
Awesome. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And because it's afternoon where you're at. And I really enjoyed this conversation, just getting to hear your story, especially your first experience at the Adaptive CrossFit Games. That's incredible that you get to go and do that. And like, I love how you said that, you know, this year was all about having fun, which it still is about having fun, but now you have an idea of how everything goes. So I can't wait to watch your journey as you get to the next year.
Yeah, it will be exciting. This year was so much fun. It was so much hard work. But it was really, really fun just to be able to see what we could do, just to try and test some boundaries and figure some things out. Whereas next year, we're going to know what to expect. We're going to be a lot more prepared. Like, we did as much mental preparation as we could. But next year, it's going to be, yeah, completely different. Completely, completely different. But I can't wait. Like, I actually can't wait. I know, like, this year I won't. I was like, this year we're going to go have fun. Next year we're going to try podium. And that's what I had in my head the whole time. And I was like, this year, going to go have fun. Next year, try podium. So that's our aim. I was like, that's what I want to do. And that's what we're going to try and do. And we're just going to have to hope for the best. Hope this body stays together. That would be lovely. And even if it doesn't, we're still going to hope for the best. And we're still going to go and try and give it our absolute all, which would be cool.
Awesome. And so I take it people can follow you on your Instagram and kind of watch your journey and your progression.
If you want to, yeah.
Yeah.
So my Instagram's Rachel Not Rich. I really don't like being called Rich. That's why my name's Rachel Not Rich on Instagram. Yeah, and normally that's my like CrossFit account. So all my personal stuff I keep completely personal for like me and the kids because I don't really want the world to be seeing all of that sort of stuff. But yeah, CrossFit-y related stuff and things like that are over on that account, which is quite nice. And like anybody, like if there is people with FND that do hear this, like please do feel free to reach out if you have any questions about just any way that exercise in general can help or just need somebody to chat to or anything like that, because that's super, super important that people feel like they've got somebody there. And I know like when it first happened to me, I felt like there was nobody whatsoever. Nobody really understood it. Nobody knew anything. So if I could help anybody in that way, then I'd be more than happy to have chats with people. Absolutely more than happy.